So have you found then that boundaries have been hard for you? Have you set up boundaries in your business?
I'd say my own boundaries of like not what clients expect of me, but of what I expect of myself.
Welcome to Real Estate Agent Superstars. I'm your host, RJ Baxter with ClearPath Home Loans. And my guest this week is an awesome agent, Rebecca Gray, who is an agent with The Block in Denver, Colorado. And Rebecca has built an incredible business over just 3 short years in the business. And she's going to share with us a little bit about how she's done that and the niches that she is focusing on. Welcome to the show, Rebecca. How are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
Doing good. Thanks for being on. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're somewhat of a newbie in the business, 3 years in the business now, and you've managed to already build a really successful real estate business. And I want to talk all about that in this podcast. But tell us a little bit more first about how you started in this crazy business. And you started at a time when things were crazy. And what was it, 2021?
Yeah, exactly. Beginning of 2021. I got my license December of 2020. And I mean, I think I came from a crazier world of construction and multifamily construction. I had worked in that industry for over 15 years, starting in 2008. I felt like I was one of the first women on the actual job site. And I worked my way up building apartment complexes, like huge apartment complexes. And I even got my own general contractor license. I have my Denver Class B license, so I could still build apartments if I wanted.
Okay.
But after, I loved it. But after several years in that world, I was ready to go out on my own. And I didn't know what that would look like. Like, honestly, I thought that I would pursue my general contractor license and maybe start my own business. But this was in the middle, well, kind of the height of the pandemic. And to kind of help me build that eventual general contractor business, I got my real estate license and thought it'd be a good side hustle, so to speak. But it ended up really being something that I enjoyed. And it compared to the crazy world of construction, even though it was 2021 and we were competing against like 30 offers and I had all buyers, in ways it was a breeze compared to where I had come from. And all
Oh,
those
really?
skills, yes, all those skills I had learned on the job site and contract negotiations and building personal relationships, those helped me get my buyers under contract and develop those relationships with other, with the listing agents so that our offer could be first. So I really came to love it more than I expected. And I've decided to stay in this career. And my skills still translate. I'm starting to look at some development projects and interested in some of those things related to construction. But in the meantime, I love being a realtor.
Okay, awesome. So how, in what ways has your background translated to real estate, and has it helped you with individual buyers, like individual families that you've helped?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest ways is generally just with contract negotiations and also understanding contract language. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but I'm not new to reading the nuances of contracts and understanding what the specific things mean. But then really when it comes to negotiations, you know, I was negotiating on much larger scale, $50, $60 million projects and keeping track of bigger budgets. So coming up with, you know, negotiations more than just about money. There can be different things that might make, when I'm working with a buyer and trying to get their offer accepted, there's things besides money that can make a difference, like how quickly they can close on the loan or how much they're willing to accept with inspection and just different things. There's a lot of different ways that we can help buyers and sellers come to an agreement that don't just involve money. Money is understandably the top priority, but just the general with the contract negotiations. And then also, I mean, I have an idea of construction more than just an idea, but I can help people like realize how big of a deal something is, if it's easy to fix or if it might turn into something bigger, and give them a general estimate of cost. I'm careful with that because it's so different, and also prices are changing so much, but can definitely like help people get an idea of what construction might be involved.
Yeah. What are a couple skills you maybe didn't have coming into real estate that you had to adapt and learn?
Okay, that's a good question. Let me think for a minute. Well, not specific to real estate, but in general of like running my own business and being my own business person. So I came, I was an employee before, working 40 hours a week, but honestly, I didn't have 40 hours worth of work to do, but I was expected to show up and sit at my desk and be there for at least 40 hours. And so when I first got my license, I still kind of had that work ethic of like sitting at my desk every day from 8 to 5, but there wasn't a lot happening because most things happened after hours or on weekends when buyers are available to look at homes. So I was sitting there like during the day with not much to do. And then I was going out and showing homes until 9 or 10 o'clock at night, and then on weekends, and really burning myself out. So I really learned to adapt to like what the business is asking of me, which is I'm busier. I work more weekends and I work more evenings, but that gives me time during the day to take care of more of my personal things. So it's really having the ability to adapt to what my schedule is asking me to do rather than me trying to get it to conform to what I was used to.
So have you found then that boundaries have been hard for you? Have you set up boundaries in your business?
I'd say my own boundaries of like, not what clients expect of me, but of what I expect of myself. And like I said, you know, not sitting at my desk when I don't have that much to do so that I can have that energy to dedicate when it is time to like show people homes. I'll say the clients that I've worked with, I feel like I haven't needed to set boundaries. They are just respectful of, because I share about I'm a single mom and I have a daughter, and you know, they know about the other things that I have going on, and they see that I can manage it all, but also are understanding when I say, this is my time this evening with my daughter, I'll get back with you in the morning.
Okay, that's great. So how did you initially start getting clients when you first started in real estate?
So when I started on a team. It was actually the realtors who sold me my last two houses. So they became good friends. They taught me so much about the industry and how to be a good real estate agent. So that gave me the confidence to pursue clients. Initially, I specialized in people who wanted to do house hacking or Airbnb. And that's still a lot of my business. That is something that I do. I Airbnb my basement. So it was an easy way to start conversations. I would find people just kind of organically, you know, on Facebook groups, talking about Airbnb. I'd answer questions. I'd have specific knowledge about regulations, and that would just initiate the conversation. So a lot of clients came from that. And then since then, it's been a lot of referrals. You know, I've not relied a ton on my sphere. It's honestly something that I could probably spend more time on, but I don't want friends to ever feel like they have to apologize if they use another realtor or feel obligated. So I haven't spent a lot of time trying to drum up business from my sphere, but it's really come naturally from past clients. And then sometimes I don't even know. It's just people will call me out of the blue, and it's from someone that I talked to like a year ago, some random conversation. They were thinking of Airbnb in their basement, and I was happy to talk to them about it. They were not interested. Maybe that first person was never going to buy or sell, but because I was freely sharing my own experience, they remembered me. And when someone else was getting ready to sell a house, they would reach out to me. So that's been a lot of my business.
Yeah. Sounds like just kind of organically getting business because you're awesome.
I don't know why, but I hope that's it.
So, I mean, I guess if someone's listening to this, they may be thinking, well, that's fine and dandy, but I've been a realtor now for 4 months or 6 months, and I don't have even one client. So how does Rebecca do it? And you must have been talking to some people about real estate or about what you do. Was it just more people you met as you went around town or from your previous experience or?
Yeah, I appreciate you drilling down on the question. So what helped me in the beginning is I had a niche. So I wasn't just a new real estate agent. Anyone I would talk to about it, I'd say, I'm a real estate agent and I specialize in helping people find Airbnb properties or properties that they want to rent as an Airbnb as an investment or as a house hack. And that was my area of expertise because I did both. I had an Airbnb in my basement, so people would be interested about that. It was completely covering my mortgage and more. It was also a natural topic to bring up. Like, this is what has allowed me to take this leap into becoming a real estate agent where I had no income at first, but I was able to supplement my living by having my mortgage completely covered by running an Airbnb in my basement. And then, so I'd be a part of like Facebook groups of Airbnb hosts and just naturally come up with conversations there. And so it was those first like 3 or 4 clients that I got by talking specifically about Airbnb, and that was something they were interested in. And then those kind of rolled into more referrals. And then also a lot of my clients would end up buying a couple homes. So they'd be repeat clients in the course of just like a year or two. So it really helped me build confidence. So for a new agent, it's not easy. But I think having something, whatever it is, that is something you're naturally interested in anyway, and maybe not completely related to real estate, but some other interest, and maybe that relates to how you're able to be a real estate agent, or even if it has nothing to do with real estate, maybe you like to rock climb and you became a real estate agent because that gives you freedom to rock climb at the times that it's good for you. It's things that just are an opening to where it doesn't feel like the hard sell. And and also things that I was already an expert in, even though I wasn't an expert real estate agent. I was an expert in being an Airbnb host. And so if people had questions about that, again, I was freely offering information and happy to have any conversation related to that with a lot of people who were not interested in buying at that time, or they might be a year out or more. But those conversations would be remembered and somehow come back to me.
Okay. That's really cool. So fast forward to today, what percentage of your business would you say is investors in short-term rentals and that type of niche?
Mm-hmm. I'd say less than half now.
Interesting. Okay.
People who are Airbnb hosts have noticed that the market has slowed down. There's less demand and there's a lot of, it's not a secret anymore. A lot of people are doing it. So less than half, and I've been welcoming, like branching out into bigger areas and working with just more general investors, whether they're looking for a long-term investment or people looking to flip homes or buy homes and hold them. Mm-hmm. So that's also translated well into just kind of helping them evaluate the overall picture. I like working with first-time home buyers, but I also like working with people who are getting ready to buy their second or third home, but mm-hmm. maybe don't want to sell the home that they're in because they're doing the same thing that I'm doing, which is hold on to your real estate, turn it into a rental, and just like keep building your empire stair step by stair step. But at the same time, sometimes it doesn't make sense if their home has like really gone up in value and the rent isn't there. I can help them evaluate cap rates, explain what a cap rate means, mm-hmm. and show how, look, you have a lot of equity in your home and this rent doesn't really justify what the house is worth. Maybe it does make sense to sell and think about different ways where you might invest that money, whether it's in real estate or something different.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point about that stair step type strategy, because I think a lot of buyers, especially first time buyers, they don't think about that necessarily. So to be the educator around those kinds of strategies, I think is really smart on your part.
Thank you. Yeah, I think, and also for first time home buyers, I think it's good for them to have that with a goal in mind. Mm-hmm. I tell people, you know, it's maybe in ways bad for my business because most of my clients never really end up selling homes with me. They just hold on to them forever. But I'm happy to like help them keep buying the next one. And I think it's a great strategy also for, and I like to talk to my first time home buyers that in the beginning, a lot of them are really interested in house hacking. So they might either rent by the room or Airbnb the basement. And I help mm-hmm. them estimate all that income so they can have an idea of how much that might offset their mortgage. But then I'll also run for them like, hey, when you're ready to move out of this in 2 years or 5 years or 10, here's an example of what, like what the long-term rent is now. If it's in an area where Airbnb as a non-primary residence is allowed, I can also estimate that income of like how much the whole house Airbnb income would be and just show them like, this is why this is a good investment. Maybe this isn't your forever home, but if this is a place you like that you can be happy living here for however long, 2 to 5 years, then here's a way that this could just become like the first in your real estate portfolio.
Mm-hmm. I love that. What's your best house hacking story about a client that you've helped?
There are so many.
I imagine.
Yeah. I'll tell you a recent one because it has become more challenging with rising interest rates, and home prices haven't adjusted for how much interest rates have gone up. So this is a recent story of it was this last summer, I think like July, August. And these clients wanted a very, it was their first time home buyers. They wanted a very specific area. They wanted to be like in Highlands or Sloan's Lake, so not a cheap area. And they were already living in Highlands area in like a little two bed, one bath, tiny little house that they just a single family house that they were renting. And they were very specific to this small area. We found this unique property that was technically a condo, but it was like a standalone house, not attached to anything. The only reason it was a condo is because some of the utilities were shared with other buildings on the lot. But it was this adorable little cottage, essentially single family house that had an up-down duplex. So it had a little unit in the basement of it with a full kitchen and a one bed, one bath with a separate entrance. And this is right next to Sloan's Lake, just like a block or two from Sloan's Lake. So, because it was a condo, it was a price that they could afford. They got an FHA loan on it, so pretty decent interest rate. And then we also got seller credits, 3% in seller credit. So it really brought down their interest rate to where it's in the fives, which anyone would celebrate about now.
Yeah, no kidding.
And upstairs, it was a little two bedroom, one bath. Again, just adorable. And the basement, the first month that they rented it out on Airbnb, they got $2,000 that month. And consistently, they've been able to average right around 2,000 a month. And this is also during slow season. So I think that income will just go up for them. Their mortgage payment, I think, was right around like 3,400 total. So then 2,000 income to set that off. They were in a house for essentially 1400 a month, which was less than they were paying for rent in the same area. And I like that one because it is more challenging now. When interest rates were 3%, it was pretty easy to like completely cover your mortgage, but it still can be done and a great way for them to get into this expensive market.
Yeah, that's genius. So I've had, I'll say, other people object to the house hacking type strategy, that there's just not properties like that around town that people can find, with inventory so tight, especially that it's just too challenging to find those types of properties. So they don't even want to put that idea into people's heads. How do you find these properties?
It's not a big secret. I'm surprised to hear those challenges. One, I'll say, if you're interested in doing Airbnb, like it does not have to be a full duplex. You don't need a kitchen in the Airbnb unit. Most people are just staying for like 2 or 3 days. You can easily find a house that you could like make a separate entrance to the basement easily and do a little kitchen cart, kind of a makeshift kitchenette where you just have a like a cart with a microwave, a refrigerator, and people can accomplish most of what a kitchen can accomplish with that. And they're only there for a couple of days, so they don't really need that. So one, I mean, an easy filter that I use on the MLS is to filter that there's a bathroom in the basement. So that's a good start. It doesn't mean it will always work, but at least there's plumbing in the basement. And then there's homes, these like 1950s brick ranch ramblers. They almost always have the type of layout to where the stairs going down into the basement line up perfectly with the back door. So it's easy to create a separate entrance by sometimes like putting a door at the top of the stairs. Usually it's like off of a kitchen, and make that a separate entrance. The other thing is rent by the room. I mean, it is so expensive to rent in Denver. There is demand for people who can rent only a single room. So if you're okay with roommates, I have people who are renting by the room and they're getting between $900 up to $1,200 a month per room.
Jeez, that's impressive. What about though, like an older person that doesn't want to deal with that kind of thing, but they're intrigued by this. you know, I could see the separate unit thing, but having a roommate at age 60 or whatever might be a little goopy. I guess the question I have around this is, if you were to convert the basement, let's say, and there's a staircase up to the upstairs, do they have to wall that off, or is a door acceptable, like a lockout door or something?
Yeah. So like in my house, and this is, I've seen my clients do it over and over again. So in my house, it's similar. The stairs that go to the basement are at the back of the house, off of my kitchen, and I put a door where the hallway would be to the stairs. And so that door locks off my unit, and then it goes out the back door. That's how I let my dog out. And then at the bottom of the stairs, I put another door. So I really just added two doors with locks. And so at the bottom of the stairs is the door that keeps the basement private for my guests when they're there. And I get it. I mean, I'm 45. I don't mind living like this with people in my basement because it brings in so much. But yes, it is a little bit of a nuisance. For the most part, I don't know when people are there. But it's something I'll keep doing because it's easy money until I'm rich enough to where like an extra $2,500 to $3,000 a month won't make a difference. I'll be doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. Now it sounds like that one by Sloan's Lake might've been in Denver, but for people buying in areas that are short-term rental restricted, how does that translate to when they want to move out of that property eventually? Would they have to then get long-term renters, or is it grandfathered in, or how does that work? Can they keep, my question is, can they keep using it as a short-term rental?
So for the most part, including City and County of Denver, short-term rental, it is only allowed if it is your primary residence. So if you are also living there. Mm-hmm. And that is true for most municipalities in the Denver metro area. Mm-hmm. So when you move out, you'd have to think about converting it to a long-term rental. There are certain parts of town, Arvada and Wheat Ridge, Centennial, where short-term rental as a whole house is allowed. So that's a factor that I help my clients evaluate too. Like, how long do you want to be here? What do you see wanting to do with it afterwards? And some of them choose to like focus in areas where currently short-term rentals are allowed as the whole house. Of course, I give with a disclaimer. I mean, that could change tomorrow. We can't predict what municipalities will allow a year or two from now. But if you want to make that a goal, then you might as well like kind of look in an area where it's at least regulated or allowed for now.
Yeah, that makes sense. Have you seen a lot of, is there a lot of whispers of changes coming? I've heard about the property tax proposition. What else are you hearing in the short-term rental regulations department?
Yeah, it's hard to keep up with. It is constantly changing. I can't think of any specific things, rumblings right now. I will say when I have someone like actively looking, I always check in with the city or the county or whatever the jurisdiction is to get an update of what might be going on or what might be coming up, because it can change quickly. And so you can, you can keep an eye on it by looking on the websites. I'll reach out directly to zoning officials if that's available to me. And then also reviewing like city council meetings, you can get an idea of what is coming. So like I live in Lakewood near Sloan's Lake, and I kept an eye on that for years. They talked for, I think, over 2.5 years before they finally passed regulation. So it wasn't a surprise to me when it did come. And their regulation was that it needs to be a primary residence. So, it, you know, I was already in line with that, but I expected it too. So there were some people who were caught off guard because they were, for a while, it was not regulated in Lakewood. So they were buying investments there to rent as Airbnbs. And when that legislation passed, they had to shut it down and either convert them to long-term rentals or sell them.
Yeah. Did that lead to listings going on the market?
Yeah, I definitely saw a few listings on the market from former short-term rentals.
Interesting. So if you were to rewind the clock and go back to January of 2021, what would you tell Rebecca from 2021 that you know now that you wish you would have known then?
That's a good question. So it hasn't changed from what I also want Rebecca now to know, which is that the business will come to you and to not panic. I jokingly say at the end of every closing, it's a reverse mantra, but I jokingly say, and that might be the last house I ever sell. But that hasn't been the case yet. And I trust that it won't be the case, but it is scary in the beginning. And I guess also just to enjoy the times that you're busy. And I've had enough of those that it does, it builds up my reserves for when I'm not busy. So even though I'm jokingly saying I may never sell another house, like I'm not actually panicked that will happen. And
right.
Several months can go by before that's actually a problem. And that's never happened either to where I've had several months of not selling a house.
Yeah. That's awesome. So let's fast forward a couple years in the future. How would you define success, or what would you like to see happen in your business?
That's a good question. What I view as a success is to have real work-life balance, to not feel like I have to chase business in a way that feels unnatural, but to attract business by being a good resource to my clients, by looking for solutions that are mutually beneficial for my clients. And actually, I'll change that, like beneficial for my clients, because sometimes what is best for my clients when making such a big purchase is maybe not beneficial to me. Like maybe they should wait. And I want to always be successful enough that it will never bother me or make me sad to give someone advice that may be counter to my business. So to always be a good resource to people to help them make the best decisions for them. And then personally, to have work-life balance, which I have, and I have had for years, and I'm so thankful for that. You know, I'm able to pick my daughter up from school every day. I'm rarely need to arrange childcare for her on the weekends. And I'm able to enjoy my life while working hard, but like really enjoy my family time and recreation time.
I love that you put that into your definition of success over the next couple of years. That's so important. My youngest, my daughter, is 16 in a few weeks. So she's driving almost.
Oh.
And my oldest is already driving, so it goes so fast, and you can't get those years back.
Yeah, my daughter's 7, and these are such golden years. I want to spend every second with her that I can. I enjoy it so much, and I can already see it just like going by so fast.
Well, kudos to you for having that balance, because it's so important.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for being on the show. I definitely appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Wow, what a great interview that was with Rebecca. I hope you guys enjoyed it, and thank you so much for listening in and being a part of this show. If you enjoyed this episode and want to find out more and hear more great interviews of incredible agents, check out the website, realestateagentsuperstars.com, and be sure to subscribe to the channel on YouTube and the audio platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and others. And once again, my name is RJ Baxter with ClearPath Home Loans. If you want to hear about our real-time referral program where we proactively generate outbound referrals to our real estate agent partners, give me a call. I'd be happy to share more about that with you. And have a great rest of your day. Thanks again for listening in.